flavor beers have some earthy stank stuck on them.
As long as it's not a metallic any longer.
Blah, 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 I want my beer, damn it!
Beer Coaster Podcast, it's for your learning.
All right, welcome back to the Beer Coasters Podcast, a weekly podcast dedicated to bringing you the best and worst in mostly American craft beer from coast to coast, and every once in a while in between. I will be your host this week. This is Toby in Las Vegas, and joining me is...
Mike from Boston, Massachusetts, also known as the head honcho of the hop.
Oh, you've already used that one.
No, I haven't.
I think you have.
I think you're wrong. Oh, you know what? You're right. I used that last month. Damn it. All right. I'm the wise man of the Weiss beers. Okay?
There you go.
And we have a special guest this week.
How's it going, guys? It's Tony from Southington, Connecticut, from Beer 411. Glad to join you.
All right. Welcome to the show.
Special guest.
I don't have any nicknames yet. Just Tony from Beer 411.
But he's cooler, younger, and a much snappier dresser.
So this is our Black Friday beer special. So, while everybody's out shopping.
We're tired of the Thanksgiving thing.
While the moms and wives and sisters and girlfriends are all out shopping, we are listening to guys talk about beer.
That's right. That's the way it should be. That's the way God intended.
Amen.
So it's of course it's going to be a little bit different again this week. We like to switch it up every once in a while. So Mike and Tony are both trying a beer. What will you guys be trying?
Kind of a pseudo fermentation conversation.
Mm. Yeah.
It's Brooklyn Black Chocolate Stout.
Yes.
Nice.
I can't imagine the winter season without a little Brooklyn Black Chocolate Stout.
Yeah.
It's delicious.
So tell us what it's like, Toby.
What?
Tell us what it's like to not have a black chocolate stout in the
winter
time.
Seriously. I'll let you know. Last call.
So for my other tasting flight, I'm going to try Mayflower. It's a new beer from Mayflower. It's their smoked black lager.
Coolness. Tony, what beers are you trying other? What beer are you trying other than the black chocolate?
I have the Allagash Black. It's a Belgian style stout. It's one of my favorites that Allagash puts out. So looking forward to trying that.
And right. I believe that one won an award here on the show as well.
I think it did.
Did it?
It may have won the One Tasty Guy Award. whichever. Guy award. It was from 2011. So it was our season. Actually, I think it was season two. Because it
could
was in
been.
February
like
of 2011.
End. Yeah.
Yeah.
But what are you going to drink?
I will be trying Speakeasy Brewing's Butcher Town Black Ale. And also,
so retro.
Also the Tommyknocker Hop Strike Black IPA.
That's a lot of beer this week.
Yes.
Yeah.
Five beers.
What do you say we
fun
start
times.
Drinking some?
Why does it got to be about color all the time, guys? I don't understand.
It's a black thing this week.
Yeah.
Always bet on black.
That's right. All right, so let's get into this black chocolate stout.
All right.
Chocolate.
This is a fermentation conversation. Yeah.
All right, so for our, kind of our fermentation conversation this week, we're going to try Brooklyn Black Chocolate Stout. This beer is from Brooklyn Brewery out of Brooklyn, New York. Their website is www.brooklynbrewery.com. This is a stout, just in case you're wondering. And it's a big stout. The ABV on this beer is 10%, and the IBUs are 51.
I'm going to sleep good tonight.
It's big and black.
Tony and I are going to crack it.
That's what she said.
And as I pour it here, I'll give you a little information on the ingredients. We got, for malts, we got American two-row pale malt. caramel malts, malted wheat, and a blend of American roasted malts and barleys, whatever the hell that means. For hops, they use Willamette and American Fuggle.
Oh, American Fuggle.
American.
American. That's right. It's black. It's pretty, pretty black. I don't have much head. I didn't pour very aggressively. It's kind of a thin tan layer across the top here.
Maybe, I don't know, would that be a Yeti finger? I don't know. What is that?
Mine's more like a Yeti fingernail.
Ooh, a hangnail?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's a Yeti hangnail right there.
So, on the nose. Ooh. It's big chocolate and coffee.
Yep.
A little anise, or anise, as some people like to say. Potato, potato. I don't know what the proper pronunciation is.
I'm getting like a marshmallow.
Ooh.
Almost like a sweetness. Maybe it's the chocolate.
Yeah, it's got a sweetness. Like, goes right up the nose. Feels like it got that smell, kind of a dark caramely sugar. Mm. A little roastiness in there.
Ooh. It's my first show, and you've already used roasted roastiness and tasty guy. I feel honored.
Yeah. All right, let's take a sip.
Let's get in there.
It's got some. It's kind of a little bit like an alcoholic coffee. You know, it's got that little bit of alcohol. Get a little coffee bitterness in there.
Yep.
And some chocolate for sure. Cocoa.
You get that bittersweet chocolate too.
Yeah, it is kind of a like a darker bittersweet chocolate. Like some of the beers we've had lately that have been chocolate, they're almost more like a cocoa powder kind of chocolate. This is definitely like a darker, bitter chocolate.
Mm. Almost like, I don't know if it's because of like raisinettes or something, but you get like a little bit of raisin, like a dark chocolate raisin kind of taste.
Yeah, it's got that dark sweetness with the chocolate does give it a little bit of a... And there's something that feels kind of woody on the tongue. Like there's some kind of...
You said woody on the tongue.
Yes. See, I set you up for this stuff. You know I do.
Can't pass up on the classics, you know.
But there's something that's kind of bitter that kind of lays on your tongue. That's got... can't figure out what it is. But it's kind of... You know, I want to. It's weird, but I don't think I've used it before. But it's kind of a dry maltiness, you know, because it kind of hangs there on your tongue.
Yeah, it's like, what are those like, Whoppers?
Malt ball? Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Hmm, like that, but even like a more bitter, a bittery kind of malt.
Yeah, I get that.
What could we pair with this one?
Whoppers. Do the Whoppers still come in those like one quart? It looked like a milk carton.
Like the milk cartons you got when you're in elementary school.
Yeah. But the tall ones, they're
that you open up like the old school or something. I don't know if they still make those. I'm gonna have to look into that now.
Those always remind me of road trips when I was a kid. I'd always get like one of those to last me, you know, for a week or whatever.
Those would always be the candies that I give away when I collected candy, you know, for Halloween. Like, oh, you can have them. I'll take your Charleston Chew.
Nice. I mean, this you could pair dessert with this beer.
That's a lot of sweetness.
It could lend itself to that, but I'd rather just have like some like roast beef or something, you know? Like a big slab of roast beef and maybe some kind of cooked sweeter carrots or something. I don't know.
I think I want to go chili on this. Like a spicy chili with some chocolate, like.
Ooh, yeah.
I could see that working. Yeah. I don't know why, but I could see it working. I don't know.
Yeah, Chris was talking about that before one time, about him making chili with chocolate. Yeah. I know there's definitely some recipes out there with chocolate
yeah,
chili.
Yeah, a little cocoa powder.
Mm. Word.
Nice, though.
Right.
It actually has just kind of the right amount of carbonation, where it's not too carbonated. It gives it kind of a nice, I don't know. To me, it gives kind of a nice mouthfeel.
Yeah, very smooth.
It's very nice.
Ooh.
It says 2012 on the bottle.
Yeah, I think so. Well, mine doesn't.
Untapped has them by year, so I don't know.
I'm glad you just mentioned that, because I don't even have Untapped open.
It says Winter 11-12 on my bottle.
Okay.
Beer Advocate users rate this a 93, which is exceptional, and the Brothers Ahlstrom weigh in with a 91, which is also exceptional.
Wow.
And Untapped?
We actually have an Ahlstrom weigh in. Crazy.
I know, it's been a while, huh?
Untapped comes in at a 3.98 out of 575 ratings.
Yeah, it looks like there's a bunch. If you type in black chocolate, is every year that comes up, and then there's like some generic ones.
Yeah.
And this was the 12? I guess it would have to be.
Hmm.
Well, by chance, I don't think I picked up a... Yeah, mine's Winter 12-13.
Or is that a Best Buy?
What? Huh.
Mine says a Best Buy date?
Limited bottling, and then it says Winter 12-13.
Wow. I got 11-12.
Crazy.
We just did a vertical tasting. Look at this.
So we could have been tasting completely different things.
We're doing the Brooklyn October, right? A Brooklyn Oktoberfest? Yeah. That's what we're doing, right? No.
I was doing the summer lager.
That's a dark ass Oktoberfest.
it's Schwarztober.
Yeah, there you go. Ooh, that's a good one. That's a good idea. I like
Schwarztober.
That. Schwarztober.
Schwarztober. All right. Oh, what was it? 3. Oh, that is a pretty good rating there. 3.98. All right. Done. All right, guys, get a chance. Check this one out. As Tony says, you can't have a winter without the black chocolate stout. So check it out. BrooklynBrewery.com. We'll be back right after this.
Gemini Lounge. A chill new cocktail bar in Portland, Oregon. A gourmet bar food haven with creative cocktails, happy hour specials, drink specials, and great local beers on tap. Don't forget to go to beercoasterspodcast.com, click on the Gemini Lounge logo, and print out your free draft beer voucher. Gemini Lounge is committed to supporting local and eco-friendly options. Local handmade and vintage art on the walls, and even 75% of the building materials were purchased from locally owned businesses. Located at 6526 Southeast Foster Road, Portland, Oregon. Great tunes, good vibes, it's Gemini Lounge.
And now out west, it's time for Toby to drink some beer. Let's hear what he has to say about it, shall we?
All right, this is Toby out west for my first beer of the evening. I am trying Tommyknockers Hop Strike Black IPA.
About time.
This is not the first time Tommyknocker has been on the show. This is actually the second time. The first time was on our Snow Holds Barred issue in December of 2010, where Chris tried their Cocoa Porter.
don't think I've had
it. So here we are with Tommyknocker, their Hop Strike Black IPA. Yes, this is a black IPA. Tommyknocker is from Idaho Springs, Colorado. They've been brewing since 1994. This beer has an ABV of 6.5%, and the IBUs are 78. Let's crack it.
Look.
Sounds like an aggressive pour.
Oh, yeah. She likes it aggressive. So I got about a good solid finger of head. It's an off-white head. Got some okay lacing happening. The body is very, very dark. I mean, this is a super dark... I wouldn't say it's black. It looks more like a dark brown with a little bit of... like a tannish highlight. Very little. On the nose.
Smells like...
So a little bit of... I didn't say the ingredients. Ingredients, only malts that they list are a dark rye malt. And the hops are Chinook, Summit, and Willamette. On the nose, it's... a little bit of chocolate... There's a little kind of grassiness in there.
Just wondering, this week, do we have all different styles, even though they're all black? I think we do.
I think so. Wait a minute, which one do you have, Tony?
We got a stout, we got a black IPA.
I got a Belgian.
Oh, yeah, the Belgian porter.
Belgian stout and a black lager.
Or stout, yeah.
Not too bad.
That's and mixing it up. And the speakeasy is just as a black ale.
Well done.
Yeah, nice little variety. So yeah, that's kind of what I'm. There's an interesting sweetness. It's like chocolatey, but then I'm starting to get a little bit of honey. Maybe a toasted caramel. Yeah, and then there's this little tiny bit of grassiness in the background. Taking a sip, yeah. Picking up on that rye.
Kind of wishing I had a 22 of the black chocolate stout instead of a little bottle.
You think twice about sending out Toby any.
Yeah, I have a 4-pack now. I don't think I'm going to send Toby any now.
There's it's not very hoppy. I mean, I'm definitely picking up on the hops, but in the front it's
that's my favorite. It's like it's something I can't. Oh, alright, take another sip. Can't quite pinpoint. Let me take a few more sips here.
There's a little bit of chocolatiness. There's a little slight roastiness. I am getting a tiny bit of the pepperiness from the rye. The hops are there, but it's not really bitter. It's actually kind of smooth, and in the aftertaste, it's very chocolatey and.
I wonder if they dry hopped it.
There's a little bit of a bitter dryness, but okay. Now the pininess is coming through. Wow. It tastes that's a nice. It's so funny because a lot of time. I mean, I think I just talked a couple of weeks ago about how I like the. I'm starting to get into these. Like I really like the fruity hops, like the ones that put out apricot and grapefruit, and now you get those ones with like passion fruit and mango and stuff like that. Like you get these real tropical fruit flavors, and I really dig those type of hops. But there's also something about getting those ones with the nice pine, and it reminds me of the winter time. I mean, obviously you think like. Christmas time, Christmas trees, whatever. So it's nice to have something like that this time of year. Because I think even with like Celebration, which is my favorite that comes out, I think their hops have a slight pininess in that. But this one, it seems to be a little bit more of a clean, like pine needle type.
Chinook is more of a piney kind of hop, right?
Yeah, the beer fest that I was at this weekend, the guy used nice. Some Galaxy hops on a Kolsch, and it was like a... He gave it like almost like a passion fruit. It was wicked awesome.
Oh, this is actually pretty good. For a food pairing, steak sandwich. Something on like a hoagie, you know, with like strips of sirloin or something in there. Maybe some mustard or some mayo. Yeah.
All right.
Yeah, definitely on a hoagie.
Hoagies and grinders? Hoagies and grinders?
Hoagies and grinders, hoagies and grinders. Yeah, so there you go. Let's see, ratings. Untapped has this at a 3.44 out of 5 with 1,822 ratings. Not bad.
It looked like there is nothing from them, unless you just didn't do your homework. I don't know.
Shocker.
Oh, I don't put those in yet. I wait.
Oh. So.
I don't want any kind of preconceived notions anymore. Even though I had one because I drank one before, and I already had a preconceived notion before I opened the bottle. My own opinion. You know what I mean?
Hop strike?
Yeah.
I got the Beer Advocate users have an 86, which is a good rating, and the Brothers Allstrom have not had it.
Big surprise.
But you could send them beer if you wanted to.
Good. That's the only way they'll try it.
All right, Tommy Knocker, send the Brothers Allstrom some hop strike.
Hey, Brothers Allstrom, we actually go out and buy beer to drink. You should try it sometime.
Wow.
Although we do get some beer sent to us, but obviously not as much as the Allstrom brothers do.
I sent you beer today. Right.
Yes, yeah, see? I got beer today in the mail. How
we
about
do
that?
Get beer.
But we buy beer too, and I think the Allstrom brothers should do that as well. I don't know why they think they're so special.
All right, check out their website, tommyknocker.com.
Are we going to keep these breweries alive if we don't buy their beer?
Yes.
There's too many.
How are we going to keep Beer Advocate alive if we don't send them beer? Send the beer. It's a double-edged sword, buddy.
Yeah, so.
All right. We'll be back right after this.
Hey, thanks for listening to the Beer Coasters podcast. And don't forget to support your local brewery, your local beer pubs, your local beer bars, and your local home brewers, etc. Drink local, because local's fresh. Oh!
Beer drinkers of the world, it's now time to check the headlines at the Beer Coasters Daily.
Alright, so for our hop topic this week, we are doing something different yet again. We are not going to visit BeerCoastersPodcast.com, click on the Brews Paper link that would take you to the Beer Coasters Daily. We will not be doing that.
We're not
going to
do that. But you guys should do it.
But you can.
Yeah. Because there's stuff on there. We're just not going to pick from the stuff that's on there right now.
Right. This story was posted on our Facebook wall by one David Rule. And the story is SD microbrew culture getting trendy, brewers worry. This is from NBCSanDiego.com. Also available at BeerCoastersPodcast.com. Click on the Hop Topics link and you'll find it there. So, yeah. We were just talking off mic that Jim Cook, we've heard Jim Cook has made the statement that craft beer is at a tipping point as far as the number of breweries in the country, in the United States. And this particular story from NBC San Diego, they quote from Greg Cook from Stone Brewing, basically saying the same kind of thing. He's saying that we're in danger of being trendish, which he doesn't think is very positive. So I was going to ask you guys, Mike and Tony, what do you think about the number of craft breweries in the United States, and are we at a tipping point, and is it becoming trendish?
Interesting question. There's a quote from one of the brewers from Ballast Point Brewing Company that says that the good brewers are in it for the right reasons and they'll stick around, and I believe that there is going to be kind of a handful of brewers that are going to be around the whole time. You know, it's kind of like you get this mass rush of a particular style of music, and everybody kind of copies them. But there's always the ones that stand out and kind of will last kind of the test of time, you know? Mm-hmm. I don't think we have too many at this point. I just don't. I think that, you know, these little brewers are still fighting for shelf space, and I think there's a lot more room for them. It's just big breweries make it difficult for them to be able to showcase their beers.
I mean, I agree. And like in Connecticut, you have, you know, a lot of breweries like that sprung up over the last like year or so. You have like Back East Brewing, you have Relic Brewing, and like Relic, for example, is a brewery that is putting out things that, you know, one of the quotes that I found was that like they're not adding anything to the market, you know, and it's like if you're going to put out an IPA, you know, people are going to have like IPAs, like, yeah, maybe you're not going to do anything with that, but if you do something different with that, if you add like, if you dry hop it with like something that no one else is doing, then you're adding a completely different IPA to the market. So that's, you're adding something to the market, which is goes against what, you know, he was saying. And Relic, for example, you know, they're trying all sorts of different things. They're constantly getting feedback from the public. You know, what do you want to see? Is this too bitter? Is this too hoppy? You know, do you like this? Is it smooth enough? You know, and he's constantly changing his recipes, and it's one of the nice little kind of like, it's like a breath of fresh air of like new breweries in Connecticut. So like, I agree with Mike, you know, there is a lot of breweries, but I don't think we've hit our like, you know, max by any means. Like there's no. So many ideas, you know, how many combinations haven't we thought of yet? You know, there's so many things that we could do out there. You know, about 2 months ago, my buddy and I, we decided to put together a homebrew that we did. We added bourbon to a blonde ale. We've never heard of that. We're like, well, why not? So, nice. You know, who's to say that, you know, other people can't come out with that? So we added, you know, bourbon to a nice light blonde ale, and it turned out to be fantastic. So, like, that's just one example. You know, how many other examples are there out there that we could, that we haven't thought of yet? So, no, I disagree.
Yeah, I think that, I mean, I wouldn't mind if every neighborhood had a brew pub, you know, or some sort of a small brewery, just for convenience purposes. But, you know, it's if it's a crappy brewery, people aren't going to go there anymore, and they're going to fail, true. You know. Right. So that's kind of how
you still
works.
Have to
it's
put like, out a good product. Well, I mean, there's a lot of other breweries who don't put out a good product but still are very successful. We know that. But
but as far as, like, we're talking in our little the corner of the market, I think that there may be some people that jump on the bandwagon and they're just like, oh yeah, give me any kind of palate record that, you know, whatever, I don't care, as long as it's numbs my mouth, whatever, you know. Oh yeah, I'm drinking this craft beer and it's, you know,
it's got 300 IBUs.
Yeah, I think those people will probably fade, or if not, they'll actually get more involved, and they'll turn around in a positive way, and it won't just be trendy to them anymore. And if it is trendy to them and they fade out, whatever. And if a brewery pops up only because it's trendy and just starts pumping out beer just because, and they really don't know what they're doing, but they're like, ah, it's a, you know, there's a huge market for it in San Diego, so let's just open a brewery in San Diego because everybody down there drinks beer. And if it's crappy stuff, then nobody will want it. Because, I mean, people in San Diego, I know, well, at least I think that they kind of know better. People in Portland know better. You know, people in beer towns, they know better. So the competition is going to be pretty tough. Right. And they're saying now that in San Diego, there's more than 60 breweries scattered throughout the county, which I didn't know there was that many. Wow. But that's cool. I mean, you go to San Diego, you got plenty to choose from, you know. And
there's 60 just in the county?
In the county,
wow.
Yeah.
I had no clue.
Yeah,
you know, I mean, there was a handful of them, it seems like, when we were there, but man, I can't. Man, 30
there was.
In San Diego.
I'd say when you left, Mike, there was probably maybe 15 in the county. So
great beer
in the
town,
last,
by
what,
the way. I mean,
five
San Diego's
years?
A great beer town.
I need.
And
to get San
mean,
Diego.
California's a great beer state. Oregon's a great beer state. Colorado, New England. I'll group them all together.
Connecticut.
Because, yeah. Like I said, I'll group them all together because, I mean, there's six of us that are basically the size of a lot of single states here in America.
But I think that's great. I think that it's awesome, you know, for a state as small as, you know, Connecticut or Massachusetts or whatever that has a lot of stuff like that, and then that you're able to have something we'll like a beer trail. I think that's
Delaware.
That's totally killer, man.
You know, you get Dogfish out of Delaware. I'm not sure how, but you'd be probably surprised in how many breweries, because of a brewery like Dogfish that, you know, brought attention to it, that I bet you there's quite a few breweries in Delaware that we've never heard of, you know, that are still doing pretty well. I think it's great to have those little local breweries, because I'd like to go to a new place and just be able to get local fresh beer. Because that seems to be the most difficult thing, is just getting really fresh beer. You know, if you can get a beer where it's made, it's on tap right there, and it was, you know, it's like a fresh hop ale of some sort. I mean, it doesn't, for me, it doesn't get much better than that.
I mean, I'm stoked. I'm going to stop by my buddy's place, Relic, tomorrow. He's going to have a cranberry wheat ale, and he has his hop rocket, and he's going to load it full of cranberries. He's going to run it through there. I mean, I've never had that
before. Oh, he's
going to
load it with the cranberries instead of the hops?
Yeah.
That's pretty cool. Awesome. Like a whole different, we're called like these flavor chambers, you know? we're gonna ship it through these flavor chambers. That's
so
great.
That's exciting, you know. I'm gonna have some of that, and I've never had that before. So, I mean, I agree that it's probably a little more difficult in the market, but like you just gotta find, you know, something that someone else isn't doing, maybe, and do a little, you know, do it good. Because if it sucks, no one's gonna drink it.
Right.
So yeah, go to for more. You know, if you want to check out this story, go to beercoasterspodcast.com, click on the Hop Topics link. We'll have it posted there. Thanks to Dave Rule for posting it on our Facebook page. Yeah. Awesome.
Cool. Let's drink some more beer, shall we?
Yes.
Yes, please.
Agreed. Aces and Ales, premium craft beer bar in Las Vegas, Nevada, with happy hour Monday through Friday, 4 to 7 p.m. With a wide variety of hard-to-find craft beer on draft and bottle. Special tappings every month. Don't forget to stop by www.beercoasterspodcast.com, click on the Aces and Ales logo, and print out your free draft coupon. That's right, Aces and Ales, 3740 South Nellis Boulevard, Eastside, Las Vegas, Nevada. All killer, no filler.
Back east, we've got Mike drinking beer. Let's hear what he has to say about this one.
Thank you.
All right, go ahead, Mike.
All right,
fine. It's your turn.
For my other tasting flight this evening, I'll be trying a beer from Mayflower Brewing Company. Mayflower Brewing Company is from... You know what? I should probably tell you the name of the beer, even though we did it in the beginning of the show. It is their Smoked Black Lager. This beer came out of October. Of October? Yes, this beer came.
Yes.
Should we start this over here? I'm going to rewind
this
a little
beer
bit.
This beer came of October.
This beer
year 17,
was brewed
17.
In the month of October. 2012.
Sorry, talk at me,
it was 2012 in October. So it's a fairly new beer from them. It's part of their Cooper series. Kind of their... kind of limited edition series, I guess, if you will. They've come out with a few seasonal brews, and then they've had this Cooper series. This beer is not on their website. I tried to kind of tweet them last minute to try to get some information. There's nothing out there that I could find on this beer. I have no ABV for you. I have no IBUs. I have no ingredients. I got nothing except this is a smoked black lager. That's it.
What if you looked at the bottle?
Nothing on the bottle. It gives a bunch of stuff about the Cooper series and, you know, Mayflower. But there's nothing. There's no ABV on the bottle. There's nothing.
Crazy.
You look at Beer Advocate, it's like a ghost town there. It's like it shows a blank. There's not even a picture of the bottle. But we'll talk about the ratings and stuff after. I'm gonna crack it because I got nothing else to do. I can't talk about it anymore because there's no more information. It
seems like Rate Beer would be more of the ghost town these days. Right, Mike?
Yeah.
Too many breweries in this ghost town.
Too many beer rating sites in this town. All right, so this beer is much lighter than anything else I think we've had so far.
Whoa, that looks like a Yeti finger right
almost,
there.
The light can almost kind of pass through this. It's brown. It looks a lot darker on screen here that you guys can see, but it's brown. And yeah, I got about a Yeti. Well, actually, it's only about a human finger right now. Might have started out a Yeti finger. It's a fluffy head, off-white. Big bubbles. Soapy looking. On the nose. Ooh.
Ooh.
Wow.
It's like a smoked Coca-Cola.
What?
It's got a weird kind of cola sweet smell to it. There's some smoke. Some kind of hop in there.
Kind
of
sure
lemony. Kind of a, not quite like a grapefruity type hop, but something a little more lemony. Smoky lemons. It actually smells a little bit more like a porter than a lager. It's got kind of that roasted, malty, portery smell. Oh, interesting.
Schwarzbier!
I see your Schwartz is as big as mine.
Yes.
Big as mine.
Taking a sip, yeah!
Hey, the Schwartz beer with you.
It's, smoky. Smoky flavor. A little bit... Wow, it's almost like a... bacony kind of smokiness. Like
Ooh, yeah.
Whoa.
Hickory or...
I was just thinking of that voodoo donut.
Yeah. Have you had that?
Yeah.
Yeah. They got the other one. Was they coming out with like a peanut butter chocolate or something?
Yeah, that one just didn't just come out.
Peanut butter banana, right?
Peanut butter banana. They call it.
I want to get that.
That's like the Elvis donut.
Are you waiting for the phallic show with the cucumber and the banana?
Make a cucumber saison.
This is kind of different, for sure. It's got kind of a big smoky flavor, but then there's a sweetness that kind of creeps in. It kind of hangs out. It's interesting. I just want to keep taking another sip to kind of get something else out of it. But maybe a little nuttiness in there.
Schwartz beers are bizarro. Like I don't know about the Schwartz beers.
Yeah, other than the. The ones we've had on the show, I don't think I've had any outside of that. So I don't even really remember.
This tastes bigger than what I can remember when we did the Schwarzbier show. I don't know when we did that, but
that was a long time ago.
But the beers that seem kind of a little bit thinner in body, and this seems a little bit richer. I guess I'd have to go back and try them side by side. But there's something kind of sweeter and richer about this beer than a regular Schwartz beer.
Because
It's kind of like half Schwartz, half Rausch beer, you know? Cause it's got that weird smoky flavor, but kind of black lageriness. If I'm going to pair this with something, this is a tough one. It's smoky and kind of sweet.
Barbecue?
Pancakes.
Barbecue pancakes?
Barbecue pancakes, yeah. That's perfect.
Yeah.
Jeez, why didn't I think of that? Jeez. I'm thinking, I've probably paired beers with this before. There's a Portuguese sausage at the Linguiça. Mm. And I think that would be good with this. Like barbecued Linguiça, just, you know, like as a, on a bun, you know? And just, I think that would go good. With this. With the smokiness and the sweetness, I think we kind of play back and forth with the spiciness of the Linguiça. As long as it was kind of a leaner, spicier Linguiça. But,
very nice.
Yeah. I'm, you know, so far, Mayflower, they've done some good ones. I think their Porter is probably one of my favorites of their lineup, but I haven't tried anything from them that I haven't liked so far. So Mayflower's got two thumbs up from me. You get a chance, check it out. Mayflowerbrewing.com. Like I said, this beer is not on the website. They got a couple of the seasonal brews, but they don't have this one up there yet. And if I do get some information on this beer, if they happen to tweet me this week, I'll try to get that information out to you guys somehow. Yeah. I'm going to keep sipping on this. You guys can do whatever you want.
Sweet. Well, what about ratings?
Oh, yeah. Want some of those, too? Like I said, it's a complete ghost town as far as Beer Advocate. There's like an empty bottle with a question mark, and we got the Beer Advocate users haven't rated this. Alstrom Brothers haven't rated this. There's a few ratings on here from different people, but
Wow. Not
enough to make a rating. Untapped. I should have probably had that up already.
Smoked Black Lager.
That's right, Smoked Black.
Comes in at 3.66 out of 5 with 49 ratings.
40,
really?
That's it?
49?
Yeah. Ooh, somebody right here, Foodie P, says that this went nicely with a smoked Polish kielbasa.
Oh, how about that? With a sausage, huh?
Pretty close, pretty close.
Yeah. You said Portuguese, right?
And he's foodie, so.
Yeah.
Yes. I said Portuguese, not Polish. I am Portuguese. I am not Polish. I'm going to put the little recording of the show here, too, here real quick. Yeah. Recording the show, yeah.
Recording the show, yeah.
All right. So, there you have it, folks. I just untapped it. And you should check out us on Untappd, because we're on there, and we're cracking beers, and we're posting.
Are you number 50?
All over the place.
Oh, I think he is number 50.
Number 50.
Oh.
So check them out. Mayflower, so far so good. These guys haven't put out a bad beer yet. So.
Oh, but see, he doesn't rate it.
No, I don't.
Mike doesn't rate it.
I,
so he's not.
They gotta pay me to do that stuff, man. I'm not gonna give that stuff out for free. Oh, wait a minute. I do that every week. Damn it.
A loser.
All right. That's enough. I'm going to drink this beer, and you guys can drink some more beer if you want. It's up to you.
Okay.
I will.
Okay. I'll see you later. Bye.
It's my show. You're just drinking it.
Deuces.
You know, drinking beer and being social is a big part of what we do here at the Beer Coasters Podcast. So we'd invite you to join us at any number of our internet social websites. You can join us on Facebook, Twitter, Untappd, Google+, and even Pinterest. That's right. Cheers.
Back east, we've got Don Leone drinking beer. Let's hear what he has to say about this one.
Hey guys, what's going on? It's Tony from Beer 411 over in Connecticut, and I'm here.
Man, shameless plugs, this guy.
Plugs. I'm horrible. CTBeerTrail.net. Anyway.
This week's edition of the Beer Coasters Podcast brought to you by the Connecticut Beer Trail and Beer 411.
Check it out when he eventually writes to it, because he hasn't written it in a long time.
Yeah.
So this week, this is my first time ever, I'm doing the Allagash Black. Their website...
Popping his cherry!
Their website is www.allagash.com. They say on their website, "We have always strived to produce the finest Belgian-inspired and experimental ales this side of the Atlantic. Allagash began as New England's original Belgian-style brewery and have grown into one of the industry's most distinguished and well-respected brands."
Aha. Uh-huh.
I couldn't possibly have made that up. You can't make this stuff up. It is 7.5% ABV. IBUs are 34. It is a Belgian-style stout. As Toby and Mike say, "Mon crack."
Nice.
Is that pretty good?
Well, it is the Black Friday show, so, you know, you gotta throw in that little...
What do you mean? What do you mean you? What do you mean you people? Anyway.
What do you mean, you people?
All right, as I pour and talk at the same time, let's see if I can do this here. 2-row barley, torrefied wheat, not sure what that is, oats, both roasted and chocolate malt, and a generous portion of dark caramelized candied sugar available.
What happens when they actually put the wheat in there? They're torrefied. They're absolutely torrefied.
Yeah. All right. I was going to say, they forced the wheat to watch Friday the 13th movies.
And... Wait. So I got like some tan head. It's not quite white. It's a little like off-white. Maybe about half an inch. On the nose.
Half an inch? What is that? What kind of measurement is that?
Yeah, I don't know. I apologize. It's probably a pinky ring finger. How's that? Pinky,
pinky ring.
I like that.
We were just talking about mobsters off mic, and he throws in.
He goes for the pinky.
Pinky ring,
ring
finger.
On the nose. Let's see. Let's get in here. Actually, I didn't really talk about the pour either. It's dark. The show's about black beers. Let's be honest. It's dark.
Yeah. Better be black.
I guess
black.
That's a given of all the visual.
A given?
Appearance, black.
Black. Maybe a little bit of red hue in the bottom of the glass, but for the most part, it's black. Smells good. It smells, you got like a lot of Belgian things happening going on here. Almost like a, is it like banana peel?
Belgianiness.
Yeah. Some roastiness, some like roasted banana peel. Does that sound appetizing? Because it smells appetizing.
Sure.
Kind of some dark chocolate maybe in there. I'm going in.
Taking a sip, yeah.
Apparently, me tasting this is funny.
I was going to say, do you say that often?
I'm going in.
I'm going in.
I'm going in. I'm warning you. I'm going in.
There's no turning back now.
I'll tell you, this is 7.5%. You would not know this. I mean, it's kind of similar to like the black chocolate stout. Like that sucker is like 10%, and you can't taste it. This is like, there's like some ninja thing going on here, because you taste this, and it's freaking delicious. And
it's a monk thing.
Yeah. Yeah,
it's a monk thing.
Ninja monks.
ninja monks. I like that.
You know, I'm getting like
Shaolin style stout.
Nice.
There's some like, it's almost like a brown sugar, sort of like a roasted sugar thing going on.
They use that Belgian candy sugar, don't they? Like a dark.
Yeah.
You mentioned that already, didn't you?
Yeah,
you did. The dark caramelized candy sugars. Good stuff.
You would think that, like, I don't know, with, like, dark ales I find that it's, they always have, like, a little bit of coffiness. This doesn't really have anything. This doesn't have any coffee. It's sweet. You have, like, that banana. You have, like, that roastedness. You have the Belgian yeasts going on. This is fantastic. This is delicious.
I'm wondering if we had that, if we gave it the, was it roasted roastiness?
Well, I can't remember, I have to go back and look at that. It was one of the ones that all three of us tried.
It's like
it either won or it was one of the top three.
Like some, almost okay. Like some graham cracker, like, you know, like, okay, so I'm going to paint a picture for you. So you're at a campfire and you're making a s'mores and the thing falls apart, but for some reason you're... graham cracker did not fall in the fire, and then you taste it. That's kind of what this tastes like.
Yeah.
That, I don't know, maybe that's a little, I don't know.
A little charred?
Like a charred graham cracker, a little bit, yeah. Very nice, very sweet, like a nice sweet finish, kind of lingers there, kind of a little filmy, but, you know, not enjoyable. It's good, very good. Pairings? Where would I pair with this? You know, I went out last night with a friend of mine, and we got a cheese plate, and there was some There was some blue cheese on there. I could see this going very well with that. There was like a
blue cheese.
With some there was a little bit of honey in there, and you just like kind of get a little cracker, a little honey, a little blue cheese. It was
nice.
Yeah, I'd definitely do that with this. So yeah, give it a try absolutely. Let's go on to ratings here. Ratings. The Beer Advocate users rate this a 90, which is considered exceptional. The Brothers Ahlstrom have it at a 94. They've had it.
Woo! Wow.
They've had it. Well, this has been around a while, so maybe someone sent it to them. I don't know.
And it's from New England, so they got both things going
true,
for them.
True, very true. So let me sneak over here to Untappd. I'm checking in. Recording the show. Yeah. Untappd has it at a 3.85 with 2,866 ratings.
That's an acceptable amount, I believe.
So, yeah.
That's plenty enough ratings to give it a rating.
That's a lot of opinions. So, yeah, if you guys get a chance, it does come in the Cajun cork, so we're heading to the Thanksgiving holiday season. I would highly recommend getting one of those, but if you are lucky enough to find a selfish bottle like I found in the 12-ounce variety, you can do that as well.
And the 22s can be selfish, too. I'm pretty selfish with 22s sometimes.
Well, the black, the Cajun cork is a 750 mil, I think.
The big
one.
I can be selfish with that too.
Yeah. So check them out.
Especially when it comes to the Allagash Black.
Check them out. These guys, they're up in Portland, Maine. Their website is www.allagash.com. And we'll be back right after this.
Woo!
Pause.
Kids are natural.
America.
The kids are natural, I tell ya.
And now out west, it's time for Toby to drink some beer. Let's hear what he has to say about it, shall we?
All right, for my second beer this evening, I actually got a big bottle. This is the Speakeasy.
Second beer, but it's the fifth beer on the show.
Yeah. Speakeasy. What the heck was that?
Hey! I know you.
Speakeasy is out of San Francisco, California, and this is actually the second time Speakeasy has made an appearance on the show as well.
Only the second?
I think so, because I think the first time was the Imperial IPA issue back in March of 2010, so season one, and I tried the Double Daddy from Speakeasy. And I remember really liking it. So here we go with the Butchertown Black Ale. I couldn't get any information on it. 8.2% ABV is about all I got. So I am going to crack it.
Big bottle, 8.2%.
Yep. Shoot. Good night.
Good night.
That's why we broadcast from home.
Safety first, kids.
That's right.
So it pours out. You guessed it, black. There's a little bit of... there's some highlights. Some ruby highlights are peeking through. It's not entirely black all the way through. I got about a Yeti finger of head on there. It's an off-white. Very frothy head.
You sent me something recently. You just sent me a... Speakeasy just recently, right?
I think I sent you the Double Daddy.
Double Daddy.
Yeah. Ooh. On the nose, a little bit of hops coming through. There's a candy, almost like a taffy kind of smell.
Taffy?
Yeah. Cherries? Ooh. There's even a powdery something.
All your stuff yeah, on the I nose think it sounds like a question.
Maybe like cherries or strawberries.
You don't
that's crazy.
Seem too sure about yourself there,
Well, I'm just kind of, I'm a little confused because it's so dark.
Cherries?
It's called a...
What? This is crazy!
Taking a sip, yeah!
Nice hop bite. It finishes a little bit sweet, but yet a little bit bitter. Not too dry. It's still a nice aftertaste. Good lacing. There's a little bit of this kind of fruity berryness, a little bit in the middle.
Fruity berries.
But then it's there's a little bit of a piney hop coming through. Some toasted grain. Very slight roastiness. Oh, this is actually pretty good. This tastes more like a black IPA than the Tommyknocker. And it just says black ale, and I know I've said that before about my issues with namings of styles, and there's the whole like black IPA, Cascadian dark ale. Yeah, that's fine.
Yeah, if they say like it's an American black ale, that usually ends up being the black IPA.
American black ale. I mean, I don't know. I just think that that's weird because stouts are black, porters are tend to be black. You know, it just seemed to call it American black ale just seems kind of generic. But
as silly as the name is, I mean, the black IPA has seemed to hang out. It's still there. You know what I mean? I think that one has stuck. You know, compared to other title. I mean, they've tried other titles, but I think the black IPA has kind of stuck, as silly as the title is.
There's even some spiciness coming through, almost like a nutmeg a little bit, but within the first couple of sips, it the first thing that popped in my head was winter warmer. It was like, boom, wow, this is a great winter beer. And yeah, the more that I'm drinking this, and probably when it starts to warm up more, I think the spices will probably come out, but we'll see. But yeah, there's really nice hoppiness, and then there's this good, like, real toasted maltiness, and the
I know, you guys aren't rate beer, but they said that like a they feel like after tasting it like a dry they feel like a dry hopping regimen like made it feel like more of an IPA than like a stout or a porter.
Oh, so yeah.
It kind of goes along with what you're saying.
Yeah, it doesn't have. Yeah, it's like an IPA with a slight roastiness, very slight roastiness, but it's got nice hops. But yeah, this is closer to like a black IPA than for a food pairing. I'm thinking like roasted turkey. Like a roasted turkey sandwich.
Oh, you're
like
so
like when you sit down at dinner, or like the second time you have like the roasted turkey sandwich. Because there's a difference.
I think he's talking about the leftovers.
Yeah.
It's because Black Friday, and when the hell else are you gonna have a turkey sandwich than Black Friday?
Yeah. All right, I'll do.
It's a little on the nose. That's a little on the nose there, Beer Coaster Toby.
We'll do the dark meat. Dark meat turkey sandwich with some mustard, spicy mustard.
Oh, I see, because it's the black beer special.
There you go.
Yeah, go with the dark meat.
I see how I prefer the dark meat.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So, let's see, for ratings. Untappd has the Butchertown Black Ale at a 3.69 out of 536. And Beer Advocate has it at an 85 from the Beer Advocate users. Nothing from the bros. Big surprise. 85 is good. They have changed their label from what Beer Advocate shows. It's pretty cool. Speakeasy's Butchertown Black Ale. Their website is goodbeer.com.
That's a great site.
It's a dream
Lil Ray says, "Yo, they sell beer cheap on Black Friday? I'll clear some shit out."
So we got some backwash from our hop topic that we just did.
Yeah. See that?
This comes from Crazy Dave.
This is called instantaneous. This is our live backwash feed.
And Crazy Dave was upset that he was not on the show and Tony was on instead, so he decided to give us some backwash so he would be heard.
You missed, buddy.
You're sometime missed. During the show. So Crazy Dave says, this is in regards to our hop topic. So we talked about the too many breweries, you know, that whole thing, tipping point, whatnot. He says, "I think what will differentiate the brewers, professional versus amateurs, is really going to be dealing with logistics. Which brewers truly have a business and professional approach to brewing. Sure, there is a craft and art to this, but not all artists should be doing things professionally, or they don't partner with the right people that have the skills to scale a brewery and deal with business related issues. Professionals have the wherewithal to deal with any and all problems that come up. They have the ability to absorb the setbacks, the capacity or the ability to increase capacity as needed. Professionals are proactive with respect to these challenges. Amateurs are reactive and often behind the curve."
That's deep. That's deep.
Well, so yeah, I mean, he's
probably talking, because he's the Stone fanboy, he's probably talking about Stone, because, you know, you have Greg Cook, who's like, doesn't do any of the brewing, but he's the guy with the voice and the drive and the marketing
apparently
skills,
big business sense as well, yeah,
the business side. So you have Greg, who everybody considers is like one of the rock stars of the craft beer industry, but he's not actually a brewer. He's like the face of Stone, and he goes across country and he does all of the PR stuff and interviews and blah blah blah. Not saying that that has anything to, you know, doesn't take away from his passion, because right. He is one of the most passionate people I've seen in craft beer, from the way that he talks and how he feels about beer. So, and then yeah. You have the other side. You have Mitch Steele and the other brewers at Stone who actually brew the beers. And so, you know, you can have great brewers, but if you, I see what Crazy Dave is saying.
Yeah, there's an unfortunate truth in there, you know, because there's some artists that can hone their craft and put out an amazingly good product, but some of those people may not survive because they don't have the guy behind them with the business sense, or they themselves don't have, you know, the professional business background to be able to kind of keep things, you know, moving forward.
Bands could be the same way. You know, you have a awesome band that, you know, goes out there and rocks the house and writes great tunes, but then, you know, if they don't have the right business sense, they won't
get
anywhere.
Or even if they can't, they don't have the ability to self-promote, you know, even, you know, some bands, you know, can't do that. So, that's kind of sad, because I know that there's some brewers out there that are putting out probably some phenomenal beers that just don't have the business sense to save their life, you know? So, that's definitely going to happen. There's going to be some guys who have more of a business background. They're going to be able to keep their brewery going, and, you know, others that won't. And it doesn't necessarily have anything to do with the quality of their product, which is a little concerning as well. What say you, Tony?
Well, I mean, you have, like, brewers. Like, I was actually watching a thing today from Allagash, and, like, you have the guys that got them to be as popular as they are because, like, they were the brewers, but now, because they are so popular, it's interesting because they're not the brewers anymore. So, like, they got them to a certain point, and now they're just like the supervisors. So, you know, they're the ones that are overseeing like other people, and they're just kind of. No, but it's interesting because, like, you know, okay, take Allagash. Like, you know, they were at a certain point, and they had a couple guys that, like, really had a great idea in, like, how to brew and how to be passionate about certain areas and what to try and what to experiment with, and they got them to a certain point. So now they're, like, at this level of, like, popularity and, you know, distribution, but now they're so popular that those guys can't possibly continue to brew as much as they are. They have to like lean on like other people. So they have to teach other people to do the brewing. So,
you know,
who's to say like, you know, I guess as these new guys like take over, like the product may not be as good, but you know, as long as these guys are overseeing, then it should continue. I mean, as long as they, you know, they keep a close eye on what's getting sent out, then they should be okay.
Yeah,
it's kind of like a cook, you know. You got this chef or whatever that's puts out this great menu, and then they want to promote him or move him to a different location, promote him to manager. He can no longer cook, but he still oversees the menu and makes sure that everybody is still cooking his things
right, to his standards, know, his recipes, and whatnot,
the same that he would. So it kind of sucks for them. You know, in the sense that they can't brew anymore. They're just like, yeah, well...
Which was originally their passion, or maybe they don't have time. That's all they wanted to do.
Yeah. But, yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know. I just think that as long as I don't know, that maybe those people that aren't becoming huge and multiple breweries and expanding beyond their garage or whatever, if they're, you know, still putting out something for their friends or whoever to try, or their local community, and they just don't know, they don't have the know-how how to expand or whatever, but they're still doing what they love, and you know, they're satisfying a handful of people, I think that's still noble. You know what I mean?
Absolutely.
It just depends on where you see yourself, you know. In Greg Cook's eyes, he may have been like, I want to get huge, but I don't want to be too huge. You know, I want to get mass distribution, but I don't want to end up like Sam Adams and have 10 breweries across the country. I just want to do my thing and brew as much as I can.
But he's been talking about opening breweries in Europe and everywhere.
Yeah, right. Oh, that's right. Oh, I forgot about that.
You know, he may have a different vision.
Right. So maybe he's a bad example, but you know what I mean.
Well, I don't want to say that Greg Cook is a bad example. I don't want to be...
But if any one of us is going to say that, it's going to be you, Mike, because you have, like, the radio voice going on right now.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. We have one more piece of backwash.
I can't real short. Breathe out of my nose anymore.
Pillow
here,
talk so with Mike.
It's going to get raspier and raspier.
Pillow talk with Mike. That's just pillow talk, baby.
Yeah. All right.
This next piece of backwash, Tony, you take it.
From iTunes? I'm not finding your show on iTunes. What happened? Is the message.
Where'd you get that, Toby? Where'd you get that backwash?
That came from our website. Somebody commented directly on the website. Yeah. No, they sent us backwash from the website. Oh. So.
We were just speaking about that before the show. We're having some issues being able to kind of find out what happened, because we had a link that brought you straight to the iTunes store to see our show. You could search for us and find us in iTunes. We're having some issues with that. We're working on it.
Sorry,
and,
I don't know what happened. Something happened, and there was a disconnection between our website RSS feed and iTunes for some reason.
We have a feeling that iTunes kind of changed things up and just didn't let us know, and for some reason we don't have the same I don't know. There's something messed up with our RSS feed. So we're going to try to fix that. Hopefully we'll fix that soon. Because as far as any new listeners trying to find us, you know, if it's not word of mouth or going straight to our website, we're kind of crippled at this point. We have a big handicap as far as new listeners go. So we're working on it. So, we're trying.
Hang tight, Rob. If you go to the website directly.
Yeah, you can always download it there. MP3 style or but I know iTunes is nice because I use iTunes podcasting. I have on my iPhone I use the podcast app now. It's real nice, but it won't for some reason I can't get any of the new shows on there because that's the only podcast I listen to is Beer Coasters podcast. Course. So
as well you should.
I don't understand why we don't have our own app yet. And why do I need the podcast app from iTunes when I could just have the Beer Coasters podcast app?
We'll work on that.
That's the only one I listen to. So. We're working on that one too, Rob. How about that? We'll
work on the Beer
Coasters. Who knows? Podcast. Maybe we'll have an app before we get this other thing figured out.
Right.
Sure. All right. Thanks, Rob.
Yeah. Thanks,
Crazy Dave.
I'm glad Rob found us. That's always good.
Yeah.
All right, everybody. Last call.
Pint ratings.
We got a lot of pint ratings. Okay. For the Brooklyn Black Chocolate Stout. Well done, Brooklyn. Well
bravo.
Done.
Bravo.
Yes. Bravo. Nice bitter chocolate. I like this one. The 10%, quite stealthy, I might say. I would not guess.
Much like a ninja.
Stealthy.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. I'm gonna.
It's a seasonal. Like you don't want to have it year round, but it's really good right now.
Right. Yeah. I'm teetering between the 4 and the 4.5. It's just it's
you're
it's
such a
really
teeterer.
Well done. I know I'm such a teeterer.
Weevils wobble, but they don't fall down.
I'm gonna give it a 4. I want to give it a 4.5. I don't know why I'm giving it a 4, but I'm giving it that. I guess maybe just because the stout category. I have so many freaking stouts in my fridge. It's hard to find.
Yes.
Anything but.
Sounds like a good thing.
Yeah, not a
I know,
bad
it doesn't sound like a problem at all. I guess the competition runs deep here, so it's hard for me to rate it too high unless I did kind of a back-to-back. I would probably rate it higher if I had kind of some back-to-back stouts to have it compete against. For my one word or rename, whatever you want to call it here,
What was your rating? Sorry, I missed it.
4.
4.
Stealthy.
Yeah, I mean, it's stealthy. It's,
stealthy.
It's kind of lame, I guess, but we'll call it the... Yeah, it's a stealthy stout. That's my name. Just because, I mean, it's 10%, and it just doesn't taste like it at all. It's got some big bitter chocolate and some good... I mean, it's got pretty decent balance to it, too, considering. So anyway, there you go. That's that.
Like
done talking about that.
Like
one. The Mayflower Smoke Black Lager.
Schwarzbier!
I know Crazy Dave is a Stone fanboy, but I might be a Mayflower fanboy.
Whoa.
They have not put out anything that I've tried. I mean, I've liked everything that I've tried from them. And this is no exception. It's a great beer. It's kind of a mix. It's a little Schwartz beer, a little Rausch beer, a little black lager, maybe even a little porter.
Mike, before you go so far as to call yourself a Mayflower fanboy, are you the type of person that would, no matter what Mayflower put out, you would be waiting in line.
No.
You would be willing to buy 20 bottles.
There's no waiting in line. I'm not waiting in line to get it. Sorry, don't care if it's my favorite beer. I'm not waiting in line to get it. I'm not. I don't support that kind of ridiculousness.
I think that's the difference between a fan and a fanboy.
So, all right. Like, so I'm not a Mayflower fanboy.
Fan Dan and a fanboy.
Yes, you are a fan man.
I'm a fan man. All right. Mr. Fan Man, bring me some beer. All right. So I'm going to rate this 4.5 because I want to rate it a 5.
Mr. Fan Man.
But I'm rating it a 4.5. And I don't know why. Man, ooh, this review sounds
says
very
the
similar.
Mayflower fan man.
Yeah, it's just, I mean, it's great. I don't know what. I can't rate it to style because it's kind of a mixture of styles, but it's got a nice sweetness to it, a nice smokiness to it. It's good. It's good. There's something reminiscent of a sweet. Sweet tobacco. I don't know why, because I didn't mention that while I was kind of tasting or smelling, but.
Mm-hmm. A pipe tobacco?
I'm going to say sweet tobacco.
Right.
Or you could say tobacco if you'd like to.
Sweet tobacco.
So those are me pipe ratings.
Cool. What about you, Tony? What you got?
What about me? Hey, well. So we had the Allagash Black. You know, when you think of something that's dark, it's kind of taking like the outside perspective of someone that maybe doesn't know a whole lot about beer. They automatically think that it's going to be heavy and like, it's going to be totally over the top. You know, this is surprisingly, it's a stout, but you know, with the Belgian style, you get that like banana like sweetness. You get that like kind of a little bit of fruitiness, and you know, you do get that bit of roastiness, but it's not so heavy that like, you know, once you have this, it's a game changer, and like once you have it, like you're done for the night. Like you have this and like, you know, it puts a smile on your face. You got a nice little sweetness to it, a little roasty, and I really, this being my first rating, I guess I really don't have too much of a ground to stand on here, but I would say I don't want to rate it too low or too high. I'm gonna give it a solid 4, you know, because you know, I feel like I've had like better beers and worse beers. This is like a solid 4. Like,
you've had better beers?
I have.
What?
I know.
Well, I just want to say that for the record, all three coasters rated the Allagash Black a 5 in the past. Yeah. I just want you to know that. So
wait,
we're giving you
Mike,
a 10-second window to change your... No, I'm just
Mike,
kidding.
I have a lot to learn here. it was good. It's got a little bit of coffee in there. It's got some sweetness, a little like that bitter chocolate. Like I said, kind of like a roasty graham cracker kind of taste to it with sweetness. I'm gonna stick with my 4, despite my my fellow beer coasters here with a give it a 5.
Cut the feed. Cut the feed.
I'm sticking to it. 4. Final, nice. final answer.
4 is no slouch. Fours are the most drinkable favorite beers we could drink over and over again. So let's not discount the 4.
That's a good way to.
Yeah, I just gave the black stout a 4 and chocolate, and I'll drink that all winter long.
What about a rename or a one word?
Oh, I get a one word. That's right. I'm gonna call it. It's been my word of the night, basically. But I'm gonna call it Ninja.
That's the only reason sneaky. Why I didn't steal it, because I kept hearing the Ninja, and I thought, use that.
I appreciate it. It's 7.5. It's good, and you could put down a lot of this, and it's at 7.5. It's gonna sneak up on you.
And Tony will put down. Oh no, you got the small bottle. That's right.
I know.
That's right. Go 750.
Next time.
But maybe that's what it is. Maybe if he had the 750, it would change his mind.
It would have been a 5.
By the time you get finished, you're going to think, this is the greatest beer.
You'd be much happier.
Ever. This beer is great.
Maybe that's why the beer coasters gave it a higher rating, because they were like, There's so much more of this. And it's good.
And so much more of this than any other beer this week.
I like more.
More is better.
What about the black chocolate?
Black chocolate, we're going to give this... You know what? I'm a sucker.
Winter staple.
I'm a sucker for the season, so I'm going to go 5. That's it.
Nice.
You know,
I like it. All right.
I was talking to Mike off the mic.
Bravo, bravo.
I did a fantastic dessert with the black chocolate stout. Where I put a little ice cream, a little splash of bourbon, and a bourbon-soaked cherry on top, and it made my life. It was delicious.
I want that.
So if you can get involved with one of those, you know, do it. It's fantastic. Black chocolate stout.
With a cherry basking in a bath of bourbon. I love it. Wonderful.
That's fantastic. One word for the black chocolate stout. Yikes. Black Mamba.
Like the sneak?
There you go. Nice. My first 5 of my beer coaster's career.
Wow. Nice. There's no looking back now.
That's it. I'm in.
All right. For my pint rating, for the Tommyknocker Hop Strike Black IPA.
Oh, what about the Brooklyn Black Chocolate Stout? Oh, that's right. You didn't have any of that.
Oh, yeah. One of those. Thanks. Tommyknocker. This one turned out pretty good. I was actually... I'd had this... Gina chimes in from the couch. Been there!
Did she...
She's had it?
Oh, it's a Gina Bender. No.
Well, we were at the... We went to Tommyknocker Brewery a while back, 4 or 5 years ago. We went snowboarding. On our way back, we stopped at Idaho Springs and... Said, oh, dude, they got a brewery here. Sweet. So we had lunch and had a couple of beers. So... The Hop Strike is actually pretty good. I had one of these a few days ago and... I was not impressed, but for whatever reason, this bottle that I just had was actually pretty good. Not so IPA-ish. There was some good hop flavors. It ended up being very nicely balanced, but not super hoppy. So I think that somebody who is newly into craft beer and don't quite want to hit those IPAs just yet, I think this actually would be pretty good balance. It says 78 IBUs. I don't think that it's actually that bitter, but that's just me. But it had a nice balance, and so I'm going to go with a 4 on that one. I think it's actually ended up turning out to be pretty good.
Sweet.
And for a one word, I'm going to call it... I'm going to say nice surprise. For the Speakeasy Butchertown Black Ale, I'm going to go with 4 on this one as well. I mean, this one was more of a black IPA, but it had some really good flavors. I think I'll stick with a 4 on that. It's nice piney hop. It's not so, now towards the end as it's warmed up, it's not so holiday-ish. But, you know, you still get a little bit of the roastiness and you still get some nice, good, piney hop flavors. So, yeah, 4 pints. And my one word is... Almost Christmas.
Really?
Yeah. Because it's not quite a winter warmer, but you could enjoy it in the fall, close, you know, as it chills.
I see. Yeah. Seasonal enough to recognize.
Yeah, sure.
Recognize.
Almost.
You better recognize.
Almost winter. That's my word. Almost winter.
Okay. Winter is coming.
Yes. And I spelled it wine-ter.
Wintery.
Wintery. Okay, so those are our pint ratings. Let's give some shout-outs. We got some shout-outs, right?
Yes, we got a few.
Oh, want to give a shout out to C&W Beer Crate Company. Also, Crazy
they build
Dave.
Crates for beer.
For sending some backwash. And Dave Rule for submitting some what was essentially our hot topic this week.
Yeah. That doesn't happen very often, Rule, so.
That rules.
Yeah. Totally.
Totally. And of course, big shout out to Tony Leone.
Hey, yo.
Yeah. For being on the show. Special guest.
Thanks for sticking it out.
Thanks.
Drinking some beers with us.
Long time listener, first time caster.
Awesome. Awesome time. We'll do it again.
And of course, we want to give a shout out to Rob. Thanks for sending us the backwash about the iTunes. We're working on it.
Yeah, we're going to figure this stuff out.
We're not very internet savvy. It's amazing that we're able to even have the show on the internet and for this amount of time.
Just keeps working. We don't know how.
Somehow
but it just keeps
works.
Working.
Thanks to Al Gore.
Yeah. Yep.
That's right.
That's who we ship our files to every week. He actually edits the show. We give Toby credit, but it's really Al Gore doing it.
Yes.
And he makes sure that it gets up on the internet.
Yeah. So we just. He hasn't responded to any of our emails lately about the iTunes issue, so he's busy with some cap and trade stuff right now. Yeah. So he's getting back to us soon.
Yeah. So I guess now we got to give a shout out.
And who's
Al Gore?
No new Bohemian?
Is that the first time on this podcast?
Did Tony write that in? New Bohemia.
New Bohemia. Oh. It's from Twitter. I wanted to give him a shout out.
Oh, that's a beer company, right?
Yeah.
Bohemia? Yeah. It's a Mexican beer.
Yeah.
And a reminder to all of our listeners.
They're from the land of the ice and snow, by the way.
Oh, really? Actually just picked up a beer at Trader Joe's that's from Wisconsin.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Dude, speaking of fellow like listeners, I have to say that Malt Porter and I have been going back and forth on Untappd like all the time, like
nice.
Checking in on like what each other's drinking and like cheersing and toasting and commenting. It's brilliant.
Awesome.
Awesome.
Shout out to Malt Porter.
Yeah, Malt Porter and the Swedish Beer Geek Clan out in Sweden. That's so freaking cool. Yes. Hopefully we'll hear from Malt again soon.
We went back and forth on the double chocolate coffee stout that my buddy and I had brewed, and we said that we would try each other's, and if one of them sucked, we would send the other person the recipe so they wouldn't suck anymore. And luckily, mine is tasty, so hopefully his is good as well. We'll see.
Cool.
Awesome. All right, cool. Beer Coast Podcast, bringing people together.
That's right. It's all about spreading the craft beer love.
It's the more you know.
Cheers.
From San Diego to Sweden to... yeah,
to
cheers.
Connecticut. Come on in.
Water's warm.
Sites in this town. This week's edition of the Beer Coasters Podcast brought to you by the Connecticut Beer Trail and Beer 411.
Pause, America. I'm gonna be somebody.